We really like to be entertained, don't we? We like to watch television. We like to watch our favorite football team. We like to go to the movies. We like to visit with one another. We like to do all kinds of things to be entertained. And a lot of the times we just fill our lives with entertainment and of all kinds. And to the point where we don't have time for things that are important. This evening, I want to talk to you about laying up treasure in heaven. And one of the things that a lot of the times we think about is we try to avoid things that are wrong and try to do those things that are good. And of course, laying up treasure in heaven is something that's important for a Christian. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus there on the Sermon on the Mount says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And he goes on there in verse 24 to say, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." When the rich young ruler came to Jesus in Matthew 19, Jesus tells him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Luke 12, Jesus was approached by two men, one wanting Jesus to tell the other one to give him his portion of the birthright. Beginning verse 16, Jesus said, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." These parables talk primarily about the accumulation of things. And of course, we spend a lot of time on this earth accumulating things. Most of us have large houses and it still can barely hold all the things that we accumulate. And yet, Jesus says that we need to be laying up riches towards God and not riches towards ourselves. Luke chapter 8, Jesus there gives the parable of the soils. And he describes four different types of soils there. The first is the wayside or the roadside. And it's the path that people would walk on to stay out of the way of horses or chariots or carts. But it's very packed ground. Then he has the rocky soil, the thorny soil, and of course, the good soul. The way he describes the wayside, he says the sower went out and he's sowing seed. And some of that seed falls on the wayside and it's trampled underfoot. You got people walking back and forth there. And he said, and the birds come and they eat it. So it never even takes root. Jesus describes the wayside, the heart of the person that has a heart like the wayside. He says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. What you're going to see in these four souls is a progression. He starts here with someone who never even lets the word into their heart. The birds come and they take it away. The second type of soil is the rocky soil. He says, as soon as the seed grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. This is the one who takes the seed into their heart, but there's nothing there, no foundation there to allow it to grow. He said, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. You're probably wondering, how does this have to do with laying up treasure in heaven? What I want you to really focus on is this third, the thorny ground. It says the thorns grew up with it. So here's a plant that actually went into the ground. It grew up, it says. But it had thorns mixed in with it. And it says the thorns choked it out. But look at the description of the one that Jesus is talking about here. It says, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Are these bad people? It doesn't say what they're doing with their time other than they're the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life. It doesn't necessarily say that they're going out doing wrong things. They're just filling their lives with things and things that bring them pleasure, things that entertain them, but they're not paying attention to the things that they need to be paying attention to. Of course, the good soil is the one that grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience, or perseverance is the word that's used in the New American Standard Version. I sometimes think that we as Christians, we fill our time with things that are related to this world. And the problem with that is when we get to heaven, those things that we fill our time with on this earth aren't going to be there anymore. There's not going to be any football games to watch. There's not going to be any gymnasiums to play in. You know, a lot of our liberal brethren spend time trying to focus on the things in this life, gymnasiums and kitchens and those kinds of things that deal with the physical world. But when we get to heaven, none of those things are going to be there. We're going to have to lay up spiritual things. And that's what we're trying to get at this evening. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 20. Paul says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, okay? Now I'm thinking he's talking about here the Christian walk. That's what he's talking about. He said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Okay? They spend their time busy with earthly things. Now, of course, earthly things can be fleshly things, things that are sinful. But I think it can also include just the everyday things that we spend our time that distract us from doing the things that we need to do as the thorny soil. But look at what he says next. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need is to change our focus. Our focus is not on this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And if our focus is in heaven, we're going to be laying up treasure in heaven. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Abraham is described here as a man of faith. There's a number of men and women in that chapter that illustrate faith. But look what it says about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. Okay? This was his inheritance from God. His physical inheritance from God. But this says, Abraham dwelt there in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for a heavenly home, a heavenly city. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul there is telling the Gentiles at Ephesus, says, this is a great mystery that God has revealed to me, and I'm in turn revealing it to you. Says, Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We talked about our citizenship being in heaven, but we have fellow citizens. They're saints that we can interact with and work with in this life. But it also says we are members of the household of God, and we need to conduct ourselves as such. The book of Ephesians, we went through that book in the last teaching cycle. And one of the things that we stressed in the book of Ephesians is all the blessings, the spiritual blessings that God gives us in His Son, Christ. It says there in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We talked about this term heavenly places. It's used, I believe, three times in the book of Ephesians. And one of them even talks about the bad spirits being in the heavenly places. What he's talking about there is a spiritual realm. We have every spiritual blessing in the spiritual realm in Christ. We've been predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to God the Father. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In Christ, also, we have obtained an inheritance. That inheritance is not a physical inheritance. We have an inheritance like Abraham. It's not limited to this earth. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in the spiritual realm in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So not only are we laying up treasures in heaven, Christ and God are laying up treasures for us as well. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? What do you spend your time putting your energy and your effort into? Is it things of this life, or is it things that will be waiting for us when we get to heaven? I'll conclude with this passage, and then we'll sing a song, and I'll turn the mic over to Steve. He says in Colossians 2, verses 4 through 7, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Set your mind on things above.